Grace, peace, and love be yours from the God who so loves this world. Amen. There are many ways I could begin my sermon this morning. I thought about a few of them this past week. I could start by talking about the United Methodist Church's decision to keep people like me and people that I love out of the pulpit. I could start by talking about how incredibly difficult this last week has been, but as I've watched my fellow LGBTQ plus siblings try to comprehend what this decision means for them. To say that I was on the verge of tears more than once is an understatement. As I sat across from my colleague and friend Liz at text study this past Wednesday, I had to push back the tears that formed my eyes when she asked how I was doing. As you can see, I'm really not fully over it yet. Or I could even start by talking about that truly wonderful feeling I got when the plane landed in Hawaii, knowing that I would return to a congregation that celebrates the depth and the breadth of God's diversity. However, I will not be starting my sermon out in any of those ways.
The fact that he just did is totally irrelevant.
Dramatic irony. Instead, I want to take you back a few years ago to an evening of mine during seminary. I had just gotten home from working my part-time job at the local Jewish deli, and I was exhausted. My arms were sore, my feet hurt. It was a pretty typical Friday night, and I was looking forward to having a glass of wine and going to bed. I looked at my phone when I walked in the door and noticed that it was 9:30 p.m. At that moment, I heard my classmates and friends calling me from the courtyard below, "Andy, come out! Join us in the Castro!" The Castro, if you don't already know, is not our parishioner's home. Rather, it is the very gay neighborhood of San Francisco. It was not uncommon for a group of seminarians to go out dancing on a Friday night, and when I looked at that group that had formed this night, I could not help but thinking it looked a lot like most of the seminary. I even think one of my professors waved to me. So I reluctantly changed, with feet sore and hands tired. Yet before I could figure out my outfit, one of my friends threw me his clergy shirt. "Tonight," he said, "we go as Jesus' representatives." I laughed, gulped, and popped in my collar. "Let's go dancing," I said. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which means we commemorate Jesus revealing himself in all of his glory to those gathered disciples. In this moment, the early Christians believed, Jesus bridged the gap between heaven and earth. It is important, therefore, that we understand a little context of today's selected passage. Some of you might notice that I only asked for half the reading to be read. So, let us begin. Luke writes, "Now 8 days after these sayings." So contrary to what our minds might go to related to last week's sayings about doing unto others as they'd have do unto you, Luke is referring to different sayings this week. Those sayings were earlier on in chapter 6, but the ones referred to in today's chapter are from chapter 9. Those sayings have Jesus talking about his suffering, his death, and his ultimate resurrection. Jesus also says that anyone who wants to be his followers, that they should deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their sake and for the sake of Jesus will find it. Whew! Those are some heavy things to ponder. It's no wonder that Peter, John, and James were tired. It probably didn't help any that Jesus decided to take them up a mountain. Like Peter, James, and John, as I mentioned before, I too was tired that night we decided to go dancing. One of my friends kept nudging me to keep me awake. "Andy, wake up for Jesus!" I laughed at the thought about Jesus dancing in the Castro. I'm not going to demonstrate that. You're welcome. When we arrived at the club, our outfits did not get more than a glance from onlookers. San Francisco is a pretty secular city after all, and people likely thought that we were part of some cult or perhaps making some weird fashion statement. I prayed to God for the second one, and we started dancing. Or should I say, in my case, attempted not to trip on anyone or on myself. When Peter, James, and John arrived at the summit, they watched Jesus walk to a place and pray by himself. Suddenly, Jesus was transformed in front of them, and he is with Moses and Elijah. Where did they come from? What's going on? Peter proclaims, "It is good for us to be here. Let us stay here and build dwellings for each of you." On that same trip to the Castro, a friend of mine yelled, "I'm so glad you're here." I smiled, half tired, and said in a daze, "I was glad he was here too." And we kept dancing. Returning to the challenges of this past week, I read countless articles before a decision was voted upon about the possible directions the United Methodist Church could go regarding same-sex marriage and LGBTQ+ ministers. I watched heart-wrenching videos of individuals pleading for their place at the table. I called the friends of mine in the United Methodist Church, wondering if any of them were also in St. Louis. I thought, as many of others did, that the policies banning LGBTQ+ ministers and not permitting same-sex marriage might be ratified. Like Peter, James, and John, I held my breath and waited. I too wanted to build a dwelling place on that mountain where everyone could belong. I watched and I waited. Like Peter, I did not know what I was saying. Or in my case, I did not know what I was waiting for. Eventually that night out at the Castro, as is custom, I tripped over my own two left feet and fell to the floor, my drink flying as I went down. Did Jesus take us up that mountain only to leave us off a cliff instead? I don't think so. Jesus leads us up the mountain, but it is in our fright and anxiety that God reveals God's self to us. Just as the clouds of unknown wrapped around the disciples, so it also wraps around us. That voice from heaven boomed into the disciples' ear, and it ought to boom in our ears as well. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Listen to God's word, even when the church fails at it. Yes, you heard me correctly. The church will fail. The church failed this past week, and if I'm being honest, it will fail again. And here's the hard thing. It failed because it prided itself in an attempt to maintain unity. However, that unity is a mass facade, hiding the pain and hurt that it seeks to avoid and destroy. So what does God's word tell us then? It tells us that God deeply cares about all people. It tells us that God does not love people despite their sexuality, gender identity, or marital status, but that God loves them and all of us because of our sexualities, marital statuses, and gender identities. Listening and following the word means being able to risk division, schism, and reformation. It means setting a place at an ever-widening and ever-expanding table. It is embracing one another when we fail, not thinking that we might fail, but know that it will be around the corner at some point. It is holding on to God's promises to be with each other, even when we cannot see a way forward to be together ourselves. I, like Peter, wanted to put Jesus in a nice little tent and leave Jesus there. But God comes down off the mountain. Unlike the disciples who kept silent about what they had seen and experienced, we must not keep silent. In fact, Jesus never instructs his disciples in this story to keep silent. We must tell the whole of creation that they have a place at God's table. We must tell people that God's love through its breadth and its depth is bigger than the church and its doctrine. The gospel has voided any of our attempts to say who is deserving of a place at this table. Two of my friends that night saw me trip over my own feet, both of them reaching for my hands, laughing to help me up. And it was then that the next song came on, and the speakers began to play. Those words rang out in my heart that night, and those words filled my soul this week and today. Ooh, baby, do you know what it's worth? Oh, heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Oh, heaven is a place on earth. And we started dancing again. We cannot stop dancing. God is transfiguring this world even when the church does not get it right. And I got up to my feet, and I joined the others. And we cannot stop dancing. And we won't stop dancing. Amen.
Amen.